The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace. It all starts now.
Hi, I'm Pastor Jared Oldenburg with Time of Grace. Have you ever heard this sentence in your whole entire life? My favorite book of the Bible is the book of Ezekiel. I'm thinking not. We have all kinds of places that we look in Scripture where we find our favorite Scriptures, but I don't think Ezekiel would be one of them. What Pastor Jesse's going to do this week is we're going to look into a book, maybe kind of an unknown book to you, and see how God's grace is even flowing there. And what he's going to do is look at how God pours into the people of Israel, and in spite of who they are, their rebellion and their lack of love for him, God says, I'm going to step up first, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to show my concern to you. Why? Is it so that they could be lifted up? That's not the answer. The answer is this. God wants his reputation to shine throughout the whole world so that people can see, as he put his stamp of approval on them, the world can see what God is willing to do to love us. So stick with us as we look at Pastor Mark's message on teaching grace.
Jesus said, the Father gives providing grace. He pours rainfall and fertility and prosperity on the planet. And Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 6, on those who are ungrateful and wicked, which totally goes against the way our normal day-to-day people transactions happen. We are nice to the nice, if I may quote Frank Burns. We are nice to the nice. We hate those who hurt us and run away from them and flee from them, and we like to reward people who are nice to us. And God acts the reverse. The Father is merciful to the ungrateful and the wicked. You cannot figure that out. Don't even try. Last week I talked to you about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though rich from all eternity, adored by 10,000 times 10,000 angels, able to have his will executed with the simple speaking of a word, made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, and became poor for our sakes, so that we through his poverty might become rich. And that incredible, stunning jewel of a definition of the grace of our Lord Jesus, who did all that while we were yet sinners. We're going to hear some stirring words from Ezekiel, who as a priest was a pretty good prophet as well. And here we are in chapter 36, and I'd like to start at about verse 22 or so. Say this to the house of Israel. Here's this group. They're in Babylon. They're hopeless. They think we're going to be dispersed. We've lost our national identity. We've lost our land. Worst of all, we've lost our God. We're idiots, and now he hates us. All is lost. We're going to disintegrate, and everything we thought we had going for us is going to be taken away. What fools we were. And now he's mad, and he's going to go fall in love with somebody else. Ezekiel's got a message. Here's what the sovereign Lord says. It's not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you've gone. In other words, I'm going to do some amazing stuff. It's going to be for your benefit, but it's not going to be because of you. You are not the cause. It's not for your sake, meaning it's not because of how awesome you are, how well you've treated me. I am about to swing into action, but I'm doing it for the sake of my name and my glory, a name which, incidentally, you have profaned. Do you know that word profane? It means you've taken something beautiful and holy and precious and valuable, and you've made it a cuss word and a joke. You looked bad when your nation disintegrated and you were hauled off into captivity. But guess what, Israel? I looked bad too, because I had claimed you, and your temple was supposedly built to honor me. So when you went down, I went down too. My reputation on earth is in tatters and shatters right now. That's why I am doing this. I'm doing it for my own reasons, not because of your performance. In fact, if your performance were to cause what really should happen, you'd be in hell already. But he says, no, no, I'm going to show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Why? Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord. I will show myself holy through you. You're going to be my canvas that I'm going to paint on. You're going to be my props. You're going to be my tools and instruments. And I am going to restore my dignity on earth, and you are going to help me do it. But it's my plan, my energy, my doing. This phrase, then the nations will know that I am the Lord, this happens to be the theme of the entire book of Ezekiel. If you dare to read this extraordinary set of chapters, you will run into that phrase over and over. Dozens of times, Ezekiel says, then they will know. Finally, they will know. Then they will know. Then you will know. Finally, you will know that I am the Lord. As he brings about a series of direct interventions into human history. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Now, look at this string of acts of grace and pay attention to where the Holy Spirit comes in here. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you out of the nations. You're going back home. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. Second, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. You're going to say, whoa, man, that sounds like baptism. And you know, it kind of is. Remember, what was Ezekiel's original job before he was taken off into captivity? What was his job? He was a priest. So when God said, I'm going to wash you with clean water, he is speaking of a priestly ritual that Ezekiel and his fellow priests had been through many times. And I think that's one of the reasons that Jesus so enjoyed choosing water and the word in his New Testament, is it's a metaphor that had already been used for the priests. Now that you are all royal priests of God, it's fitting that all of you should be washed with clean water and your sins washed away. They had washstands on wheels, and my guess is what they would do is they would roll the portable stands up, and they had a valve on the bottom of what they called the sea, and they would fill the stands and then roll them on so that the armies of priests could continually be cleansing themselves to be clean enough to do the sacrifices and offer the prayers. All right, God says, I am going to wash you with water, holy water, and you will be clean. So on my own, I'm going to forgive your sins. You aren't going to earn it or buy it. I'm going to give it to you. Here's another example of grace. I'm going to cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. You can't clean yourselves up. You're like alcoholics. First thing AA makes you say is, I'm an alcoholic and I am powerless to change my life. I need outside intervention. I need a force bigger than me and I need a team. And God is saying, that's you. I'm going to clean you up because you clearly were incapable of cleaning yourselves up. I'm going to cleanse you from your impurities. I'm going to go inside of you and rearrange your internal architecture. Get this. I'm going to give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I'm going to remove from you your heart of stone, the unbelief and hardness you were showing towards me, the callous indifference to my words and my outstretched arms. You were not able to transform yourself, so I'm going to do it, not for your sake, for my sake. And I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to put my spirit in you. You're not going to go find the spirit. You're not going to buy some spirit. You're not going to rent or lease some spirit. You're not going to figure out how to capture some spirit. You're not going to plug yourself into a wall outlet somewhere and load up on spirit juice. I have to do it for you. But out of love, out of grace, I am going to give you the Spirit, with a capital S, to live inside your foolish insides, to transform you. I'm going to put my Spirit in you, and I'm going to change your attitudes and your behaviors. It's called conversion, or regeneration, or being born again, none of which are possible for us to do on our own, all of which need the grace of the Holy Spirit, God's eager gift to give to you. Everything, by the way, Ezekiel is saying to these Israelites gathered around Babylon, around the Kebar River, the canal, the Kebar Canal, that looped around Babylon and hooked, connected at each end to the Euphrates River. Everything happening there could as easily be said to you and to me. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to make you alive again. I'm going to put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. I'm going to change your attitudes and your behaviors. You're going to dial into my agenda again, like the old days, like you used to. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You're going home, going back to Canaan, back to Israel. And you will be my people. I'm restoring our relationship. I'm going to claim you again, and you're going to claim me. After having shunned me, you're going to claim me because of what I am doing on your behalf. I will save you. I will save you. I will save you from all your uncleanness. If that isn't enough, I'm going to make you prosperous again. I'm going to call for the grain. Don't you love that phrase? I'm going to call for it. Yo, grain! Hey, grain, here, now. Get up out of the ground. Grain, calling you, grain. Isn't that just awesome? And here the farmers thought, we're making this happen. God says, No. I'm calling the grain. I love that phrase. I'm going to call out to the grain. Yo, grain. Just think of God. Let's all pretend we're God and say, yo, grain. Ready? Yo, grain. Yeah, all right. Make it plentiful. No, I will not bring famine on you. I'll increase the fruit of the trees. You suppose he's calling to the fruit too? Figs. Yo, figs. Get out of there. The crops of the field, so that you will no longer suffer disgrace. I'm going to give you your dignity back. Your feeling of national purpose is coming back. You're going to remember your evil ways and your wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourselves for your sins and detestable practices, called repentance. Notice he doesn't say, you got to repent and then I'll be nice to you again. He says, I'm going to be nice to you so that you will grace goes first. God's anger and rules do not bring about a softening of the human heart. The implanting of the Spirit is what does it. It's the gospel, it's grace that transforms us. It transformed you once to turn you into a Christian. It's what keeps sustaining you and continues the transformation process. For these processes continue to happen, softening up our hearts of stone, which are always trying to ossify on us and get hard again. God's mercy and his love soften us up and make us alive again, and his grace then flows through us. We listen to his words and instructions and want to do them instead of wanting to go in the opposite direction. And here comes that phrase again, I want you to know that I'm not doing this for your sake, declares the sovereign Lord. You should be ashamed and disgraced for your conduct. I'm doing some things. On this day, I will cleanse you from all your sins. I will resettle your towns. The ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated. They'll say, this is the land that was laid waste, and it's become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt it. The Lord has spoken, I will do it. Last little paragraph, this is what the Lord says. Once again, I will yield to the plea of the house of Israel. Did you get that? Once again, I will yield to the plea. In other words, I'm going to listen to your prayers again. In my anger, in judgment, I was turning a blind eye towards you and a deaf ear. What you were doing, I no longer wanted to look at, even your rituals. When you would pray to me, I didn't want to hear your prayers. I became deaf as part of the judgment upon you. Once again, though, as your heart has softened up, I will listen again to your pleas. So prayer once again. After our relationship is going again, prayers will start working. I will do this for them. I'll make their people as numerous as sheep, as numerous as the flocks for offerings in Jerusalem during her appointed feasts. Passover time, holy smokes, it was a cattle drive during Passover time, wasn't it? So the ruined cities will be filled with flocks of people. Flocks of people. Right now, the land of Israel is desolate. Nobody to tend the fields. Either the weeds took over, or when there's no irrigation in an arid land, it's like the farms in Arizona. If you didn't water them, if there wasn't irrigation, they'd turn back into gravel. That's what was happening here too. God says, not a problem for me. I'll just speak the word. I'll call to the grain. I'll have a word with the figs and your vines. I'll make the grapes grow again, and you're going to have plenty. And your cities, which right now are ruined, will be rebuilt, and they'll be full of people. I will do this for you, for the glory of my name. All right, so what? Great story. And God did do all this, by the way. He says in the next chapter, incidentally, I'm right on the edge of doing this. Now, he took about 30 more years. To us, that's an eternity. In fact, if you're 12, 30 years is such a long stretch of time, you can hardly even imagine something lasting 30 years. For God, it's just, you know, like, that's like I'm on it. 30 years is going to happen. But he did. He did everything he said he was going to do. I want to leave you with two so whats. First of all, a reminder to you to give your God 100% of the credit for being a Christian. I hope that you not only thank God for his providing grace, who spoils you rotten with more stuff than might actually be good for you. Secondly, for Jesus' forgiving grace, for over and over and over washing away the guilt of your sins. But that the Spirit also for his converting and equipping grace. Even coming after you to find you, even his choosing of you, has no other point in it why God reveals it to you except for you to give him 100% of the credit for being a believer. Don't say, I looked at all my choices and I have reasoned that Christianity made the most sense. Baloney. Don't say, God likes me because I try so hard and I pray to him all the time. No, it's not your effort. Don't even go there. Don't go to anything of your own behaviors. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to your cross, Jesus, I cling. And that's the Spirit's doing. For what God planted in those stubborn, foolish Israelites, he has done in you. Your living heart that has replaced your heart of stone is a gift of the Holy Spirit, a gift of his grace. Praise him for that. And the second takeaway, after you have had a little thankfulness therapy for the Spirit's patient grace in mud wrestling you inside of your messy life and caring enough about you to lead you to faith so you're cleansed and now full of hope, is for you to be an agent of God's rescues to people. Maybe some for the first time will hear the message of the gospel from you, but you know what? Just as God kept after his foolish runaway Israelites, you probably know all kinds of people in your life who once had an active life as a believer, but they threw it away, and they're now adrift. Perhaps they think that they have now made so many messes and have now flipped God off so many times, they're beyond hope. And they don't go to church anymore, don't read the word, and don't even bother to pray because they think it's hopeless. And all that they want to do now is just have some fun before I die and everything goes away. I used to think as a young pastor that everybody thinks they're going to heaven. Even the people who don't go to church assume they're going to heaven. And I've slowly discovered over time that is not true. There is despair under the surface of most of the people who are disconnected from the gospel. They don't like their lives very much. They think about suicide. They're hopeless and despairing underneath. And they try to stay busy, or they try to anesthetize themselves. If you drink enough, you can forget about it for a while. Or you try to be an achiever. You try to accumulate possessions. Or you keep dancing and distracting yourself with whatever pleasures you can come up with. But the vast majority of people, said Thoreau long ago in the 1860s, lead lives of quiet desperation. Miserable. Here is grace. You don't have to say to friends of yours who are in that spot, clean yourself up and then God will like you. Why don't you get yourself together? Isn't that tough? Don't say that. Say, God sees value and worth in you. You have the unconditional gospel to share with people, for it is through the speaking of the gospel, through the speaking of grace, that the Spirit moves. And the Spirit then invades people and starts their stony hearts beating again. And their deafness starts to listen to the word. And their mind starts to think, maybe there is hope for me. And their eyes start to see a little bit of the path where the light of God can shine on it. You have been given the grace of the Holy Spirit, not only for your benefit, but you've been given it also to share. For you are God's Ezekiels. You are God's agents in a splintered and broken apart humanity of people killing each other and stealing from each other and hustling and stepping on each other to get ahead. And everything is a crazy, selfish, mad scramble. And you and I are, as since we're immortal, we're freed from the slavery of having to try to get it all now, because we don't have to get it all now. There's an eternity of joy awaiting us. We don't have to get it all now. We can enjoy the people and share good news with the people around us, that there is hope for them through the providing grace of the Father, the forgiving grace of Christ, and the converting and equipping and empowering grace of God the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit works through your words, just as he did once through Ezekiel's. At just the right time, the new sheriff in town, the Persian Emperor Cyrus, gave the all clear, and the Jews were able to start returning back to Israel. God kept his word. He'll keep his word also to help and strengthen you to be his agents in a badly broken world, to share hope with people who need it. And once again, hearts of stone will start to beat, and we'll have more company in heaven. This is good news for God's people. Let everybody say,
amen. So, what did you think? It's kind of amazing that we can find, even in a book like Ezekiel, that God's grace shines through. Reminds me a little bit when I first started dating my wife. We were 14 and 15 years old, and I remember getting ready for that first date. It was a big deal, and I'm a 15-year-old boy, so I tried to make sure my hair was just right and make sure all my clothes were just right, and you know, I had gum, and I didn't want to embarrass myself on any level. Why? Because I didn't want to have any reason for her not to like me. I was hoping that she would look at the package and say, this is a good thing, and I want to be with this person. How different is it with God? Does God just wait for you to kind of fix yourself up? Is God just waiting for you to change your heart so that's perfectly clean? I remember having a conversation once. I was out in Colorado, and I was talking to someone, and they said, you know, my life isn't quite in order enough to go to church. That's not how God views things. And when you look at the book of Ezekiel, you can see a people that were rebellious, a people that had forgotten God, a people who didn't seem to care about God. And what does God do? God still steps into their lives. God still is big enough to go first and say, hey, I'm going to love you for the sake of my own reputation. I'm going to love you and pour my concern for you and my forgiveness so that you can see amazing things that come from that. Just as the earth grows, so does God's grace in our lives. So here we stand, looking at the book of Ezekiel, wondering what grace means to us. Grace means this: that because of who we are is not the reason why God loves us, in spite of who we are. In spite of our brokenness, in spite of the mess of our lives, in spite of wherever you're at and whatever you're struggling with, God cares about you. God wants to be part of your life, and he was willing to send Jesus to a cross to make sure that happens. I'm going to be back with you in just a minute to pray with you.
A group of generous donors has stepped forward with a $50,000 grant and are challenging friends like you to meet it by May 31st. That means your gift this month is worth twice as much to bring God's message of grace to more people around the world through digital outreaches like your Time of Grace videos, the Time of Grace mobile app, our partnership with the YouVersion Bible app, and our social media outreach.
When you give to Help Meet This Challenge grant by May 31st, we'll say thanks by sending you Pastor Jeske's new book, Grace for Every Race, to help you overcome any racial divides in your life or church and build a stronger community of faith. Request your copy when you give to help match the challenge grant. Call 800-661-3311, text TIME to 313131, or visit timeofgrace.org/store.
On behalf of Time of Grace, we are so thankful for your generous offerings that make it possible to bring this program to so many people around the country. And we're so thankful that those make it possible, that it goes beyond even this country and goes out into the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are just so thankful. There's many things to be thankful for right now. And one of those is that in spite of who we are, you came into our lives and you loved us and you cared about us. In spite of the things that we've done, in spite of the things we've said, you haven't waited for us to clean ourselves up before you would talk to us. Instead, through your word, you speak to each one of us. There's plenty of times where we feel like there's no reason you should be looking at us, but then we see what you have done. We can't come up to you. We can't make our way to you, so you came down to this world so that you could love and care for us, and that Jesus became, even in the manger, a child and found his richness. He gave that up. He gave up that richness so that we could be rich, that we could be full, and that we could be loved. So we pray a very thankful prayer that you've given us the Holy Spirit to not only work on behalf of us, but work in us, that you can change your hearts, that we can have a greater and greater desire to know who you are, to understand the fullness of your grace, to understand the fullness of your demands, but at the same time, understand completeness in which that you care for us. Right now, we want to remember the people in our lives that don't know that grace. We look at the book of Ezekiel and we see very clearly that there are people that had no clue who you were, but instead you came to them. And we pray that you can use us as a vehicle. You can use us as a person that can share this message of grace with all these different people that we know. Ultimately, we pray for not just those people around the globe, not just those people far from us, but the people close to us. This is our best chance to show your graciousness. Who is better positioned than us to love our kids? Who is better positioned to love our family and our coworkers? And so we pray that this message of grace that you showed through Pastor Jeske's message can go into our own lives, and that this can be something that we don't just think about cognitively, but this is something that we can show in our actions. And it's something that can show ultimately that Christ would shine through. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. For Time of Grace, I'm Pastor Jared Oldenburg. I pray you have a week filled with God's grace. And remember, it all starts now.
It all starts now. It all starts now. Just now.
The preceding program was brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace.